Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along. It is the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour on Radio Yorkshire as we discuss all things Football League. Got plenty of Yorkshire news to bring you, including this afternoon, Leeds United agreeing an undisclosed fee with Premier League Burnley for Charlie Taylor. So avoiding a tribunal on that one. The club have also unveiled a new look Elland Road as well for the start of the new season. We'll ask Tom all about that. We'll talk about all of our Yorkshire side's ongoing transfer activities. Look at the national picture as well, where Wolves seem to be doing plenty of good business. We'll be asking, who do you think will be the biggest flop of the campaign as well? So many teams spending so much money these days. Someone has got to fall away. Tom will bring us transfer news at some point throughout the show as well, probably at 2 minutes to seven. We'll try our best.
We'll try.
To get it in at least 5-2. At least 5-2.
We'll try, but...
But then you'd have to speak really slowly because you've only got five stories down.
Well, I cut them down now, knowing on that we never have time, and I'm just basically rushing myself.
Never do that, because the one time you need them...
It's all right, we can make them up. That's what a lot of people do. Well,
that's true. Definitely know a few people who do that on Twitter. let's kick off with Yorkshire news as we do every single week. We've actually got quite a little bit to talk about with Leeds United.
Yeah.
Nothing kind of major. The tour of Austria has now ended. Well, let's start with Charlie Taylor. This fee agreed now
yes.
with Burnley, led to believe around £6-7 million for Taylor, avoiding a tribunal. Good news all round.
I think, yeah, considering you look at the fact he refused to play for Leeds, his career was pretty much at an end. He was definitely leaving this summer. Cracking player, no doubt, but it was evident that he wasn't going to be staying on at Leeds. They managed to cash in and have cashed in pretty well. When you think about it, I know in the modern market, £7 million maybe isn't enough or isn't as much as you know it was a couple of years ago. But that's still a lot of money for a player who did want to move on, was going to move on anyway. And I think it kind of shows maybe Burnley recognised the fact that he probably is worth that. They didn't want to risk the tribunal. Having to pay any more than they have. But for Leeds, it's good. They've spent a lot already on transfers. Whether that was because they're expecting a significant amount for Taylor, I'm not too sure. But if not, it's quite positive and will help fund further transfers because defensive reinforcements are still needed. But yeah, it's good to see that they could agree a fee and it's obviously going to help the club in one way or another.
So I suppose, yeah, as you said there, taken out of it, a bit of money now in the coffers. Defence probably the one area where Leeds United yeah. have not strengthened where you would have thought they should have done by this point. Do you think anything could be happening over the next 7 days or so before we get to the start of the new season?
Yeah, Leeds centre-back hunt seems to go on. And the suggestion I kind of had, or the impression I had, was that Leeds were going abroad to find another centre-back, as they have done with other business, as they have done previously anyway. So when the likes of the Aidan Flint rumour came about, you're going, well, is there something in it? Because we're not too sure. It's the fact that he's going to cost £5 million. Kyle Bartley, the impression is he's going to cost £7-7.5 million if Leeds do want to get him. And it seems to be Leeds have suggested this summer where, you know, I've said it before, where their transfer policy seems to be, well, why should we pay the English market prices? We go abroad to get a player of quality for cheaper. You look at Pontus Janssen, he's £3.5 million and he's probably a top defender in this league, I think, you know, as well as a fan favourite. So if Leeds can go abroad, look elsewhere, which I think they're looking to do, and find a player there who is going to be as capable. Pennington's obviously come in. He looks pretty good. Don't think he's a starting centre-back, but nonetheless, Pennington and Cooper, I think, are good squad players. So, yeah, with a £7 million. Whether they put it all in to one player, I don't know, but it's kind of seems to be the centre-back position is where they need, and this money's going to help that.
Yeah, a lot of fans, I mean, just checking social media in the last hour or so since that Charlie Taylor news was announced, a few people saying, oh, 7 million in, 7 million for Bartley. But do you think the club will go there again? Obviously, a Gary Monk signing, Gary Monk Mann, obviously, from Swansea before that. Do you think that one may be a little dead as far as the club is concerned?
He seems to suggest, didn't he, Bartley, that he would only stay if Monk was staying, whether that was at the moment, because obviously a lot of people wanted Monk to stay. Leeds have seemed to move on. Obviously, Christiansen's in, seems an okay choice. We don't hear too much about him, which I think is quite a good thing. Just means he's quietly getting on with his job. I don't think Leeds should spend £7.5 million on Carl Bartley. He's a good player, yes. He's a very good defender at the Championship level, but is he £7.5 million worth of quality? Probably not. You know, I was a big fan of him alongside Janssen. They were a good partnership, but it's that again that, are you going to pay £7.5 million for him? Is he worth that? It's kind of, he'd probably be worth that to Leeds, but then Leeds could probably find an equally talented or better player for less. So I don't see why they should go all out and go, well, we'll just use this whole 7 million on Bartley, because they shop around, they could probably get a better value player somewhere else and then have money left over to use elsewhere.
Indeed, I'm sure Thomas Christiansen and the scouts at Leeds, Victor Orta, with the business they've done already, will have quite a few options maybe they're looking at now in this final 10 days or even till the end of August. Think Leeds could leave it that long, or they in danger if they don't get off to a bad start?
Maybe. I don't know. They did it last year. I know it's different ownership, different structure, whatever. But they did do it last year. Loads of clubs do it. It's the ideal, isn't it? The ideal is to get everyone in. Some clubs have done that, fair enough. But I think with the transfer market, the situation's always changing, isn't it? It could come up in August, midway in August, that a player becomes available that maybe they were looking at that wasn't available before. You never know. So I wouldn't say Leeds' business will completely be done before Bolton in a couple of weeks' time. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think the squad they've got now is in a position where it could get off to a good start, not like last year where the start probably impacted the rest of the season. They've got some good attacking players. Cooper can do a job for a game, two games. Janssen comes back in. You're imagining probably a Cooper-Pennington duo because Janssen's suspension at the moment. But could they do a job for a game or two, bearing in mind that one of those games is Port Vale in the Cup, probably. So I wouldn't say it's a disaster if the business isn't all done. You know, you never know. The starting results could influence where Leeds need to. It could, you know, not rush, but make them really move about in the transfer market a bit more than they already have, because on the overall general picture, the bigger picture, Leeds' business has been good, but you can't expect it being far from done yet.
A few people getting in touch on Facebook. Remember, you can go and watch the show live on Facebook this evening, facebook.com/RadioYorkshire. Just search for us on there. You should be following anyway, let's face it. A few comments in already. Gary Townsley getting involved. Let's hope the Leeds manager knows what he's doing with all these signings. Lower league players from abroad. I'm not sure himself. That's Gary in Exeter, season ticket holder.
Commitment.
As well, that is a
very good
trick.
Commitment.
Devon White's MOT, he says. What have you made of pre-season then so far? It's been Austria was a bit mixed, let's say.
Yeah, the Austria pre-season tour, I think they need to look at that and go into Austria again in the future, because various parts of it added together. Maybe the squad had a great pre-season tour, whatever, who knows. But for a fan, I feel sorry for those that did go out there. Don't think they really got their money's worth. Who cares about the results, the games, whatever. I just don't think what was kind of said, mentioned, didn't happen. Of course, the friendly against Ingolstadt getting cancelled. The Monday night friendly, which happened but didn't happen. It wasn't meant to be publicised. Thursday, the streaming issues that came with that meant a lot of fans here couldn't watch a game. Sunday, fair enough, the Facebook was a good idea. I think that's something that clubs should look to in the future, especially for friendlies. I think it's a very easy way to get games watched, get fans involved. But then they did have problems with that. So just little things, you know. Of course, nothing's perfect, but I think pre-season in that aspect could have been better. On the pitch, positive. You got to look at Sunday. They're playing a very good team in Ibar. I don't think that was anything near what Leeds will start with. It seemed very experimental with where some players played. Olofsky looked very good. The time you saw him in the, against good opposition, he took his goal well. Size looked good. A lot of the new signings did play well. So, of course, you can only judge it so much, but your initial reaction is that they do look all right players, some good signings coming in, a lot of interest in them before they came to Leeds. So hopefully they can do a job when it comes to the regular season.
More people getting in touch on Facebook, all in favour of that Kyle Bartley signing. Aaron Scott Marshall, Kyle Bartley, for me, $7 million's a bargain for a quality centre-back who can play in the Prem. Two, Paul Williams gets involved as well. You know what you're getting from Bartley. Top draw centre-half in this league. Harry Scholes is asking, who do you think will be the starting team next week for Leeds?
I think the Oxford game you're looking at is going to, it should be, you know, an 11, maybe make three subs throughout. You've got to look at it as, right, this is actually a dress rehearsal for Bolton away. Very much looking forward to Pep Clotet coming back to Elland Road as well. You got to imagine that Green will probably be still be number one at the moment. The Elland Road plans, which we'll talk about later, seems to suggest certain players who are staying, who are going. It's just little things like that. Probably Aylin. I think the Aylin, Janssen, Cooper, maybe even Cooper and Pennington, to see how the two of them go get with each other. Berardi at left back. Then your midfield, it's you know, that's Leeds' strength this season. They've got so many players who can play in midfield. O'Kane, I think, Vieira, two players who have warranted centre mid starting positions. The suggestion seems to be the three attacking midfielders like last season. Whether Hernandez becomes your home player, because Leeds can rely on him away from home, can't rely on him for an entire 46 games. So if you look at someone like Size, you got Olofsky, Roof, Sacco still, Dukara, plenty of players who are there and thereabouts. I think Dukara's fallen down the pecking order, but there's the options there. And then, of course, Wood up front. But whoever is, it's got to be that team that plays, or near enough to that team that plays against Bolton, because it's a week before. I think it really is the dress rehearsal for Bolton away, and you've got to be looking for performance and result just to get something going into the first home game, or first game of the season.
Sam Senior poses a question. Do you personally think Leeds will do better this year than last?
It's a difficult one. I think the thing with last season was Leeds overachieved. They did overachieve with the squad they had. They did a very good starting 11. The starting 11 was very good, but they didn't have a squad. They didn't have a squad that Sheffield Wednesday had, that the teams around, you know, up there, those teams they had, Huddersfield, you know, how they did it well, they got promoted, fair play to them. They were kind of similar to Leeds, and that maybe their squad wasn't as good. But I think Leeds will do better this year. I think they've bought in some quality players. I think, of course, you know, we can look into their kind of CV, their footballing CV, their past, their stats, whatever the reports that people are saying about them, and it all seems positive. But you can't then go, you know, we definitely know how they're going to be. However, still think that Leeds should do better. They should be aiming for top six. I know tonight we're going to be talking about the biggest, or who we think will be the Championship's flop team this season, because there are a lot of good teams. But in terms of on the pitch results, you're going to hope for some consistency, not having the bad start, the bad finish that Leeds had. They want to have a good season throughout and do well and challenge. And I think, you know, at the moment they're suggesting on and off the pitch that they're prepared to do that. So hopefully it will be better. And I think that Leeds will do better than last year. Hope they will do better than last year and can make the playoffs after, you know, after what is it? League One was the last time that Leeds looked or got promoted, got to the playoffs. So hopefully it could be this year and they could push back to the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether they'll do better or not.
It's difficult,
it's
isn't
very
it?
Very difficult with the players that they brought in, because there are a lot of unknown factors there, particularly in the Championship. Part of me looks at the league and think, apart from maybe one or two teams, depending on how Borough come together with all the money that they've spent, yeah. Aston Villa under Steve Bruce, I think he's, with the experience they've got, should be all right. I know we're going to be posing that question. We've already posed it on Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, other than that, it looks pretty wide open to me. And I think a lot of these teams who have spent money, maybe tried things differently, like Leeds have done, bringing in the new head coach, a lot of players coming in who you wouldn't have heard of six weeks ago. Are they going to hit the ground running? Are they going to have three stars out of that 9 or 10 players?
Yeah.
Is that going to be enough to improve Leeds and push them into the playoffs? I think possibly. I think it's so difficult with the way the league is wide open. I think they'll be there or thereabouts, but I'm not sure. I think it is going to be one of those seasons where we're asking now, who do you think will be the biggest flop in the Championship this season? Because a lot of teams have spent a lot of money. Middlesbrough being obviously the biggest with Gary Monk there now, Aston Villa with John Terry going in on a big wage there, a lot of other experienced players joining as well. You know, can Fulham go again? Can Reading go again?
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday obviously have had two bites of the cherry now. They spent a lot of money. Again, you would think this time has to be their time. Will they flop again? Will they spend more money before August is out at Christmas? Will they splash again and fail? There are so many teams when you look at the division that could fail.
I think, for me, when we get onto it, Wolves is the big one. They've spent so much money, brought in some players who are far too good for this division, but they're paying them a lot to get them here. I think linking it back to Leeds, what will help them is two things. I think they're truly... At the teams that are fancied up there, I think they're the underdog ones in the fact that I think people will say, you know, and we do have that feeling that Leeds could do well, but then you go, well, there's Middlesbrough, there's Wednesday, there's, you know, Fulham last season. There's the teams up there who are expected to do well. There are Villa who have spent well. So you go in logically and you go in, well, on that basis, on paper, Leeds are going to fall out. Leeds are going to be about 7th, 8th, 9th around there. So I think that might help, that the pressure is there, but it's not on as much as some of the other teams around him. And the fact that Leeds have probably taken the biggest gamble in how they're trying to do it. Like I said, they've bought in Thomas Christiansen that we don't only know a bit about. We don't know a great deal about him as a manager. Some of the players he's bought in, we don't know much about them at all. But we're looking at them in pre-season going, OK, they do look good, but it's a gamble. How will they adjust to the Championship? How will they cope with the league? We don't know. So Leeds have taken the biggest gamble, and they've not done it cheap either. I know teams are throwing £15 million around for Brittas Ombolonga, for example, but for Leeds, they have spent a lot of money. That's 12-plus million, and they're still looking. They still need to make additions, so the gamble's there. So I think for Leeds, it'll work in that favour, that they can have that bit of an underdog status. But for flops, you know, your Middlesbroughs and your Wolves, the expectation's there because they've spent so much money on trying to succeed and get back to the Premier League.
I wouldn't be touching Wolves. I couldn't. That is a project that's either... I think it's got a very small chance of being successful in the Championship.
I think the thing with Wolves is, you look at Sheffield Wednesday, for example, we'll compare them. The Sheffield Wednesday have a very good squad and for two seasons have consistently been around the... Well, apart from the odd blip, have consistently been top six around the playoffs. And they've truly shown that this year you're going, well, they should do it again. Nothing suggests that they won't do it again. They've made some quality additions. The likes of George Boyd have come in, who should be very, very good in this league this year, in a good attacking team as well. Whereas Wolves have spent a lot, but they've spent £18 million on one player, bought in Diego Jota today from Atletico Madrid, who's got Champions League experience. These players have Champions League experience, so surely they should be walking this league. They've bought in an ex-Porto manager, who has achieved or got a very good record previously. So for them, it's going, well, it should, but whether it will all come together and all work together in this league, we don't know. So it's the likes of, you know, the other teams that have been mentioned, we know that they are capable of being there or thereabouts. I just think for Wolves, it's a case of you've spent so much and you're bringing these players in that you've got to do well. And what if the first half of the season doesn't go as well as they hope? They're sitting maybe higher mid-table, maybe 9th, 10th. And Ruben Neves, for example, is doing fantastic. What if the Premier League clubs come sniffing around? They don't have to sell, but what if the player goes, well, we don't look like we're going to make the Premier League. You said I'm here to make the Premier League. I want to go to the Premier League. Are you going to keep those players happy if you're not in the top six throughout the season? It's going to be difficult. It's going to be very, very difficult. I think they could be in danger of being a big flop team this year.
A few more comments coming in. I'm not sure which way around Lewis is suggesting this, but Lewis Borg says, who do you guys support, Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday? I think he's trying to make you out to be the Wednesday fan there.
No, but I mean, could be worse.
Tom
teams.
Is a Leeds boy, by football, the way. I don't football. Support a team that are in the Championship anymore.
God's sake. All the time with the Burnley Premier League stuff.
I didn't mention anybody's name. I didn't mention anybody's name, but Lewis Ripley is right. George Boyd, he's predicting to be Championship Player of the Year. I think that's
strong shout,
a fantastic signing. A little confused, not a football league, but I put this out the weekend. I was confused. Burnley are rumoured to be signing Phil Bardsley from Stoke, who is 32 years old.
Yeah.
They signed John Walters from Stoke, who's 33 years old. They offered George Boyd a one-year contract, presumably over 30 rule, like Arsenal used to do. He's 31. They've signed players, will be signing players that are older. But yeah, they wouldn't give George Boyd a two-year contract. I think that's a mistake for me. But I think that's definitely Sheffield Wednesday's game, and it has to be their year this year. Tom Brown asked, do you think the Owls can make the top two without any more signings? They should.
They're well up with a shout, aren't they? They're 100% up with a shout because they've built a team. Now it's 3 years this will be the third year that Carlos has been there with this team. They've come close before. They've made the final, made the semi-final. And they've not really lost anyone major. They've added. They've added, you know, they've upgraded as they've gone along. And it's little upgrades. I think we spoke about Wednesday's attack, and there's no doubt about it. It's a fantastic attack that, you know, the envy of a lot of teams in this league. Probably on paper, the best strike force for player, but they were, I think, needing that wide creativity, and they identified it and got it fantastic. You know, George Boyd came in for nothing, and is well up with a shout of being Championship Player of the Year. So I think I'd fancy them for top two. I think, you know, based on track record that they have been around the top six for the majority of the last two seasons, I think they're probably aiming or wanting to do it and have the security of automatic promotion, the pride of automatic promotion, then risking playoffs again. But out of all the Yorkshire teams, I think you fancy Wednesday. If any are going to push a top two place, it's got to be Wednesday. It's got to be based on history.
Yeah, I couldn't be backing them after last year. I did put them on last year for second. But I think they should be up there. Definitely in the top four, Sheffield Wednesday this year. Borough, the pressure is on Gary Monk with this squad, the money they spent. For me, Borough have to win this league.
They have to. I think it's a bit like Newcastle last year, where everyone's going to look at the money spent, look at the squad they got. But that's a case. But I just think, I've said it before, I say it again with Monk, that his past two jobs has not been real pressure. At Leeds, there was a bit of expectation to succeed. There was always the optimism that surrounds Leeds at the start of the season that, you know, we could make playoffs. There should be a playoff push at Leeds. But at Swansea, there wasn't pressure. He came into a job where the club weren't doing well. He did very well with them in that short time. I think, you know, as it is with managers now, departed, was sacked. Whereas at Borough, there is the expectation to win the league now. They've spent a lot of money, got some good players. It's kind of a new situation for him. Will he cope with that pressure? Will he be able to kind of produce results like the ones he got at Leeds and better it and get Middlesbrough up? It's going to be an interesting one, and if not, how long will Gibson give him there if it doesn't work out as well as hoped?
I don't know. I think he'll be there. He'll be there for the duration for me, but yeah, they've got, for me, they have to go and win the league, Middlesbrough, this year. So go on then, flop or not?
Middlesbrough.
Yep.
I won't make them my Championship flop team. I think they should finish top six, and I don't think you call anyone who finished as a top six a flop, no matter who they are. I think just based on player, they've got a good manager, an upcoming manager still, really not overly experienced, but very very positive in terms of how his future looks. I don't know. I think I can see him making top six regardless, so I don't think you call anyone who finishes top six a flop.
Aston Villa, they have signed experience to get them out of the division.
Yes.
Let's just say that. plenty of players coming through the door. Obviously, John Terry being the most high profile. They've signed the likes of Glenn Whelan from Stoke as well. A nice experienced squad. He's got there. Steve Bruce, he's signed players he trusts. Obviously, Hadi's coming from Hull. because of that rule that he's only allowed to play for Steve Bruce.
Exactly, yes.
So he's there now, and he's always done pretty well under Steve Bruce with the promotions that they've had together. Aston Villa this year, Bruce has had time to sort some of the backroom problems that have blighted Villa for quite a long time in the Premier League, where they just about survived year on year. This year's, for me again, they've got to be top two.
I think so, yeah. But it goes back to the argument of there's just so many good teams, someone's got to fall out. But that's what they needed last year, didn't they? They needed a year where they probably wouldn't be great, but they needed to rebuild, get out players that weren't being used, get some players in and give it a good go this year. And that's exactly what they've done.
A bit like Sunderland this year.
Exactly what Sunderland needs to do. But Villa have spent a fair bit of money as well. You know, they've had that rebuild now. They've got the players in. They've got, you imagine, a massive wage bill. Paid some big transfer fees for players. Remember, you know, they brought Kadir in, McCormack as well. They spent some a fair bit of money on those transfer fees. So, I think they've got to do well. They probably will do well. Steve Bruce has got a track record of doing quite well in this division. So, yeah, they've got to be up there in and about top two. But for them, I think promotion's the main aim. Top two would be a bonus.
Yeah, what about John Terry? Aaron's got involved again. He says he can't see John Terry coping in the division. Too gritty, think he'll struggle. Teams and individual players will target him. Potential flop, Villa.
Yeah, I thought it might be a bit of a culture shock to him, wouldn't it? I think the Championship, it's different to the Premier League. I know it's the stereotypical, oh, well, how will players cope in this division? It's the Championship, etc. But it's got that reputation for a reason. It is like was said there, that Aaron said, that it is quite a gritty league. There are times where games are scrappy, where teams just try and grind out results. You don't really get that in the Premier League. So I think it might be a bit of a culture shock to him. I don't think he, as a player, can be the go-to player that they need. But as a personality, fantastic to have around the room. He knows what it takes to win. I'm sure he'll want to win, succeed. Go up with Villa. I don't think he'll want to hang around the Championship for too long, really, no matter what he says about coming up against Chelsea, blah, blah, blah. But, I think it is going to be a culture shock. I have to agree. I think he's not going to make 40 games. I think he might be a 25, 30 game a season player.
I don't know. I think he might surprise a few people, John Terry, but I think there will be times where there is the odd Rick when he does come up with someone maybe that is a bit of pace. It depends how Villa play, but I think the amount of experience he signed, I think they're just going to be very dull, boring to watch, very deep, grinding results out, and try and go up that way. And Steve Bruce is a good manager. I think they'll be there or thereabouts for me, but everyone else not having it. Lewis Ripley, Villa aren't going to do any better than last season. What, 32-year-old plus players going to help? And John Terry is going to be one of the slowest defenders in the league with a lot of extremely fast strikers. Vince Berman as well gets involved mid-table for Villa.
I don't know with Villa.
Go on, flop or not?
No, again, top six.
Top six?
Got to be, and like I said, I don't think
the public vote is going flop.
I don't think they will be. I think they will finish top six. I don't think you call any team in the top six a flop, like I've said. So, again, yeah, I just think there's too much there. They've got the experience in. They've got Steve Bruce in. Okay, defence might be a problem, but you've got to look at the players they've got going forward that can kind of make up for it. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, but top six for me. Top six have got to be.
What about a surprise package, just taking a slight diversion, because Dave Nash has got involved. He's putting up Bolton Wanderers to be a surprise team in the Championship. Adam Lafondre, he's going for top goal scorer in the division. Can't see that myself.
Will Bolton create enough chances to give Lafondre in this league? Will they create enough chances for Lafondre to become a top goal scorer? Is he prolific enough on his own anymore? I mean, he's got the track record, but is he that person anymore, where you've got to look at the strikers in the Championship? 15 million quid's the going rate to get a good Championship striker now. Is he going to outscore them? It's going to be difficult. It's going to be massively difficult for him in a Bolton team, you're imagining. They're going to be at the other end of the table, going to come up against it a bit. I don't know. Can't see him being top scorer, surely.
And I can't see Bolton doing much.
No. I don't know who a surprise package can be. There's a case for a couple of teams, isn't there? You know, your Cardiff City's maybe under Warnock.
Yeah.
Birmingham under Redknapp. You never know how they could do. I think there's a case for a couple. I just don't think Bolton are one of those that could be the surprise team.
No. When I look at the bottom 7-8 teams in the table, I would expect those, say, let's say bottom 8, to make up the bottom 9 come the end of the season.
Could be.
Just look at it. I can't see some of those teams surpassing everyone else that's in front. They're spent a bit of money. I think that there is, and a few people point it out, that the danger that you get a Sunderland, maybe a Hull, that are going to be severely dragged into a relegation fight. I think one of them probably will. But just some of the other teams, just the likes of Preston, can't see them going anywhere. QPR, sorry, not having them. Ipswich, I just think Mick McCarthy's just doing a wondrous job keeping them where they are. Barnsley have sold everybody, so no chance for them this season. Millwall, can't see it. Bolton, can't see it. Burton, can't see it.
No, I could definitely... Out of your teams that have come up, Millwall and Bolton shouldn't challenge, really. Sheffield United, I don't think they'll challenge, but they'll be comfortable. They'll do quite well. They might push mid-table. Might be a bit like Barnsley were last season. Apart from, you know, I don't think they'll sell all their players, but they might flirt with the playoffs a bit, might be in touch and distance, but won't quite make it. But there are so many teams down there that you just can't see you're going to do that much. Like you said, QPR are one for me that I reckon could really struggle this year. What have any suggestions been that QPR are going to be okay this year, have improved on last year, are going to kick on and do anything? Because I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure.
No.
Ipswich don't seem to be going anywhere, as much as it pains me, because you know how much I love Mick McCarthy.
Big Mick man.
They don't seem to be going anywhere. Burton might just survive, but they're going to be down there. There's just so many cases for teams that, like, at the top, I think it's going to be quite a split league this year. I think there'd be quite a few who could go for promotion, but quite a few could be in danger of relegated as well.
Matty James Perrin, happy birthday to you. You got in touch saying hi. Simply, it's my birthday.
So, yeah, fair enough. Happy birthday to you.
Elsewhere, I'm not sure Dave Nash was maybe too happy with that. He told us who was supplying the crosses. Not that I can find it.
Sammy Amiobi, probably, is it?
And then just ended with thanks, chaps. Don't know whether that was just a genuine thanks or just a bit of sarcasm.
Who knows?
We're not having Bolton whatsoever. A few people saying that Sheffield United will be the surprise package.
I don't know. It depends, because surprise package suggests a team that you're not expecting much of, but are going to do well. But I think based on last year, we're expecting something from Sheffield United, aren't we? We're going, well, they're going to come up quite strong. They're going to do all right. They'll get a few wins. They, you know, hopefully for them, maybe win one or two local derbies, both Steel City and Yorkshire, etc. So I don't know if you could put them as a surprise package team, because we're still expecting them to do all right.
Yeah, that tends to be... doesn't it, coming up from League One these days, that you come up and the champions tend to do all right, be kind of mid-table.
It's not like it used to be where, you know, your Southampton, Norwich, where you seem to be able to do back-to-back. I think just the money flying about in the championship, it is going to create a divide. I think it's going to be top 12, bottom 12 around there. I think that's the way that the league might go in the end. And you imagine Sheffield United being a top 12 team, but not towards the top of the top 12.
Gavin Court getting in touch. Gavin, I will try and find your comment. They are coming in quite fast, but very polite in the end. He's saying Wood top goal scorer is what he said.
It's a big shout for it. Big shout for it. You look at the fact was Chris Wood scored a lot of goals in a team that statistically didn't create many chances. You got to look at chances created. Leeds weren't up there. The players have come in. Olofsky, okay, however, he is a finisher. Should be a good creator for them as well. Then you've got Hernandez, who, of course, can pull something out of nothing. So Wood's got to be up there. He's got to be in with a shout. If Leeds are to do well, Chris Wood's going to be in fine form, and he's got the players coming in. Because on reflection, he did miss a lot of chances again last year. He scored a lot, but he also missed a lot. So you're thinking if Leeds are going to keep creating more and more chances, more and more goals should come from it. So could be a strong contender for top goal scorer.
Yeah, you get him about 10-1 at the moment, Chris Wood. Asamoah Longo, the favourite to be top goal scorer. Can you see that, given his injury record? He scores goals every season, but he's not, in the past few seasons, had a clear run.
I think it's the logic of if a team are going to do well, their main striker is going to be up there as well. So, obviously, you're expecting, a lot of people are expecting Middlesbrough to do well. So, if they're going to do well, Britt Asamoah Longo's got to do well. Britt Asamoah Longo's got to be scoring goals, doing well. He's their £15 million man. He should come in and score goals if they are to get promoted. So, you can understand why he's favourite. It's just, you know, going back to Chris Wood, it is, can he do it again? It was a one-season thing last season. He's not really had a season where it's reflected the goals scored like that. So if he can do it again, but I don't know, you just got to look at the amount of players who are capable of being a top goal scorer. You know, on that logic, if Villa are to do well, you got to imagine Jonathan Kjaer is going to be up there doing that. If Wednesday are to do well, Jordan Rhodes' track record of scoring lots of goals, he should be up there as well. And then, of course, there's the surprise elements. You got, is it Braithwaite over at Borough as well? Is it, I think it's Toulouse they got him from? He's a forward player, so if they're going to do well, he should be scoring as well. So there's plenty of contenders for it.
Indeed. For Mr. Nash earlier, our Bolton fan is tipping up Adam Lafondre to be the Championship top goal scorer.
What's the odds?
It's almost getting Leicester to win the Premier League a few years ago. You can get better odds on Solomon Dakara to be the Championship's top scorer than you can on Adam Lafondre. He's currently, well, depending on the bookie, but let's go for the biggest price you can get, 150-1, if you think Adam Lafondre is going to be the Championship top scorer
at
the end of the season. So,
Can't see it.
If he believes it, it's worth a couple of quid, definitely.
May as well, yeah. May as well.
Stick it on, why not? What about people tipping Sheffield United to do well? And what about Ched Evans to be up there? You get him at 100-1.
I suppose
he'll have a good season, be a main man.
Yeah, so it's that logic. If a team are to do well, like, he's going to be the go-to man. I don't know. Can you rely on Ched Evans to be a prolific striker in the Championship? Not too sure. But then if the team are going to create chances for him, if they're going to do well, then he's going to be the man they're going to go to and hope will get goals. I don't know. It's just a case of if a team are to be, you know, bar McCormack at Leeds the other season, where Leeds are a bad team, but McCormack managed to score a hell of a lot of goals. I think he got 29 in the end. I think if it's going to be a top scorer, it's going to be a top six, top seven, top eight team are going to do it, because it's the fact they're going to score more goals. They're going to be winning games. And they've, you know, in theory, got the best strikers. So I think you've got to be looking towards a Britt Asamoah Longo, a Kjaer, Chris Wood, someone like that in a team up there, a Jordan Rhodes, who are going to get the goals because the chances are there for him to take.
Elsewhere on Facebook, David Thompson has been in touch. He's a Sunderland fan. He's worried about the upcoming season. We really need to start blooding the under-23s from last season, he says, such as Maja and Asoro into the team. Maja, if that's, I'm pronouncing that right, don't know, has looked a top prospect this pre-season. Back at you, David. Simon Grayson, is he going to survive? We'd mentioned before about Aston Villa and having a bit of a rebuilding job last season under Steve Bruce. Has your chairman got the patience for a rebuilding job? For me, I think he doesn't have it, and I think Grayson's going to be out on his ear come the autumn. Tom, what do you think of Sunderland?
They need a long-term build. It's a long-term project in a day and age where long-term doesn't exist in football. The expectation, or they're going to want success, as ever with any ex-Premier League team, but they've come down from a terrible season in the Premier League. They've lost some key players. You're looking at Jermaine Defoe, of course. They need to rebuild. And Simon Grayson, if he is there for the long term, they're fantastic. I think in the long term, he's a good manager to have. But I just don't think long term exists enough for him to get it. They've got to accept that it's going to be a bad year. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it gives them the time to assess who's going to be good for the future and who's not. And it's like Villa is going to give them the time to rebuild, hopefully build again the summer after. They don't seem to be wanting to spend much money, but they will have it from the Premier League parachute payments. So I think, yeah, I can't see him, I don't know, getting a long-term, multi-year time to do it, which is what the job needs.
We mentioned Gavin Court's comment before. He now thinks that I or we should be on Radio 1 instead now.
Take that. That's weird.
Would you?
Well...
For the salary,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, that bit.
David Thompson reckons Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday both be up there. What about Hull City? A few people asking, how do you think Hull City will do?
Again, I can't see what suggests, like a Sunderland, what suggests they're going to be up there. I don't know what the odds are for them to get promoted, but I imagine it's probably decent because they're an ex-Premier League team. But I don't know what suggested Hull are going to be challenging. A lot of players have left as expected. We spoke about that this last week. Robertson leaving, Kevin Stewart coming in, but they were for similar fees. Is Stewart the player that Robertson is? I know they're differing players, but I don't think so. I don't know what suggests. You know, Klukas has been linked with a move away. I think Newcastle are after him. I think they've been linked with the Sparta Prague defender, Mazuc, is it? But I don't know, I just don't know what suggests that they're going to be up there. When you look at the teams around them, the teams that have, or the teams that, you know, are going to be up there, they've made better transfer business, transfer activity. Yeah, I can't see it being a good season for Hull. I think it might be a mid-tabler, but is it a rebuild? I don't know. I'm not too sure what's going on over at Hull. You don't know what's going on with who's going to own the club in the future, whatever. It's a difficult one to call, but you can't see them succeeding.
Yeah, they're in the same situation, different division this year. More dire consequences if they can't get it right for Hull. And a few people have said, yeah, potentially Hull for relegation. A few people mentioned Sunderland for relegation. Looking at the odds, you can get 16-1 on Hull going down this season. They've sold pretty much all the players. They've got an unknown manager to these shores who reminds me of Darko Milanic a little bit.
He looked good, didn't he, CV-wise? But
yeah, I just can't have him. Just don't think he's going to do very well whatsoever. Sunderland, you can get 20-1 on them having back-to-back relegations of the two. Which one would you be picking?
I wouldn't pick either, but if I had to pick out the two, probably Hull. Sunderland, I believe more in Grayson, and I don't think the two teams will be near, well, will get relegated. There are teams like, you know, your Boltons, your Millwall, QPR, Ipswich, Barnsley, Burton, who are going to be, should be below them. So they've got that safety buffer zone. I don't think they're as bad as those teams. I think they're better. But I don't know, I think Sunderland, Grayson, he's the positive out of what's been not necessarily a great summer. It's been not overly positive in business, but Grayson's a very solid manager at this level, knows how to get a job done. You look at Preston, did a very good job with them. They're pretty similar for the team wise to Sunderland. They're not the best team, but he did very well with them. Whereas Hull, the new manager, he's got a good CV, you know, looks good from his time in Russia. It's how he adjusts to over here. You know, Marco Silva, we had the same questions about him, did okay, but they still got relegated through his fault or not. Yeah, I don't know. Hull seems more negative. Seems to be so many outgoings, few players in, but players that aren't going to get you excited compared to the players and the quality of player that they've lost. So if I had to pick between the two in terms of who's going to finish lower, probably Hull.
Few people... Vince Berman says he reckons Sunderland are going to go down again. So there you go, Vince, 20-1 for you to have a little nibble at if you wanted to. David Thompson, who is the Sunderland fan from before, has got back in touch. He says a lot more positivity at the club than under Moyes, but thinks spot on about the chairman. He's a very trigger-happy person who listens to all of the whims of all the fans. Think Grayson could be the right person to take us forward, but as you said, don't know if he will last long enough to tell. So big worries there for Sunderland. Few people asking about one of the teams we've not really mentioned so far in the promotion race, so flop or not, Derby County
Yes, Derby County.
Traditional floppists.
Yes.
But will they this year under Gary Rowett?
I don't know. They've fallen out of the promotion picture, haven't they, the past couple of seasons. Really, of course, the playoffs were there, but last season you weren't looking at them as a team to be promoted. Solid manager in Gary Rowett. Big loss to Birmingham, as it's shown that they nearly got relegated. It went down to the last day. It was a terrible decision to get rid of him. But they've picked him up and they've benefited from that. I think he'll have a good season to go at it. I just don't know with Derby. I don't know. I think maybe it's a case if they should have taken the chance when it was presented to them. They've come so close so many times and they've not done it. In the past couple of seasons, or past few seasons anyway. You're just worrying now that the quality of the Championship improves year on year. More teams are getting better. More teams have a capability of getting promoted, whereas a few seasons ago it'd be 6, 7, 8. Now you're talking about 12, maybe 13 teams you can make a case for being promoted. So it's becoming more competitive, but I think having someone like Gary Rowett there who you trust can get the best out of his players could be a massive positive for him. And they've got to be aiming playoffs, you know, rebuild that promotion, promotion chances, promotion ability after a year that wasn't as good as they usually expect. So, yeah, I think the manager they've got there is a big positive for them and can help them if they are to be towards the promotion area.
Yeah, they're an interesting one. Obviously, I have a good squad anyway. They've underachieved in the past. They've let a few players go, though. Cyrus Christie went to Middlesbrough. Yeah. Will Hughes, obviously, a big one. Coming through the ranks, been the heartbeat of that midfield for a few years. He's now gone to Watford. They sold Tom Ince to Huddersfield
Town. That's a big one.
Got some money in for him. Incoming's Tom Huddleston from Hull. Andre Wisdom as well from Liverpool. So they have strengthened in a way. They've let some players go, though, as well. The likes of Will Hughes really had to move. Tom Ince, another opportunity for him to go and play in the Premier League at Huddersfield Town. So given that, it doesn't scream at you. But they, as you said before, Gary Rowett, what he did with Birmingham to get them to seventh and do well the season before, seventh when he was sacked. That you would argue on paper that Derby team that he's got now is 3-4 times better than the one he had at Birmingham squad wise.
Yeah, I think I don't think Derby's business is over by any means over. They do need to strengthen. They need to replace the quality players they've lost. But in fairness, it's some of the, you know, those incomings, decent. Huddleston, very good bit of business for the price. I think to get a solid Championship midfielder at this level, an experienced Championship midfielder at this level, for £2 million is an absolute steal, especially, you know, the modern market, the way it's going. To pick someone up like that, that's very positive for them. I don't know, I just think you're looking at his time at Birmingham, his time at Burton. He can get the best out of a squad. They may not be the best players on paper, but he can get the best out of them. So I think that's going to be working in their favour if they are to be up and around top six. And just, you know, for them, you're worried that they should have taken the chance when it was presented to them, because now everyone's, or more teams have got better. It's a more difficult league to get out of.
A transfer from the Premier League that I mentioned earlier. Burnley have tonight completed the signing of Phil Bardsley from Stoke on a 2-year deal.
It's that and Walters are very Sean Dyche signings, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're decent signings, but I think it's questionable letting George Boyd go. Because he's over 30, only offering a 1-year deal when you sign in Phil Bardsley on a 2-year deal. Even though more Premier League experience, obviously, but Boyd played so many games last year for Burnley. And
Sheffield Wednesday's gain.
Most definitely Sheffield Wednesday's gain. Lee Sawyer says he doesn't think Middlesbrough will go up. Monk is the same as Karanka, who just about got Middlesbrough up. They were bottling it. And don't think they'll get the goals, even though they've spent £50 million. He thinks Villa will win it. Bruce, a good manager.
That's the thing. There's a case for so many teams to win it. It's difficult to definitely say. I think Borough Villa will be top six. I can't see them as flops. You know, going back to the question that we've kind of had throughout the show, flop team for me will be Wolves. I think there's just so much money thrown at it, so much hope and expectation. I don't know. Can't see it working out as plain sailing as they'd hoped. I think they'll be up there. I'm not sure with Borough whether they will win the league. I'm not really sure on who I fancy as a league winner yet, because there's just so many cases for a few teams to be able to do it. But you're still fancying them top six. I think they won't want to do playoffs, but if they get up three playoffs, I don't think they'll really care as long as they're back in the Premier League.
Indeed, getting towards the back end of the show. Do keep your comments coming in. Thanks for all your interaction tonight. What do you think about Bristol City? That's from James Brewer. What they're going to do this year?
Yeah, Bristol City. Of course, the transfer talker there is Aidan Flint and Brian as well. Two players that I think the suggestion is that I think it is just rumours. There doesn't seem to be too much kind of as much, you know, behind it as others. If they can keep them, then that'll be very positive. I think you talk about surprise packages. I think they could be one. Lee Johnson is the question mark on, you know, how well he can do with them, but they're not in a bad financial position, let's face it. They've got the ability to do it. They've shown in this transfer market or this transfer window already that they are capable to do it. So I think they'll do all right. I think they will do all right this year. I don't fancy them for relegation. If they can keep Flint, they can keep Brian, it'll do quite well. They've spent a significant amount of money on getting a strikers in from Angers, is it, in France? So it's more positive than it was last year. I can't see him being anywhere near that drop zone.
Tom's French pronunciation strikes again.
What was it? Angers. Angers. What's the problem then? I did say Nantes again earlier, by
did
the way.
You? Talking yeah, I'm about not transfers. Sure it is Angers.
Is it not?
I don't know. I don't think so.
If anyone French is listening, get in touch.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very French whatsoever.
Might be.
Vince asks, who are your top 12? We'll do our full predictions next week.
Yeah.
We'll write them down. We'll put them out as well on social media so you can agree or disagree. We did it last year. I think they were okay. I can't actually remember.
Right.
I think both of us had Huddersfield.
Up there. Challenging. Brighton, obviously, Newcastle, but they were two obvious ones. They did all right.
Yeah,
there were a couple where it was
huge,
like,
huge gaffes. So Danny Parkinson on daytimes had Brighton to go down.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Brighton were near the bottom of the league anyway.
It was it, and someone had Brentford to go up. It's like, and I remember us just slating them for what suggested that they were going to be anywhere near. But there you go.
Yeah, so get working on them for next week because we'll go through our full predictions. We'll do the full championship, I think, we'll do top six relegation in the other leagues. We've neglected the other leagues a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Tom, we've got pretty much 2 minutes for you to do your transfer news because I've been a bit naughty and not played some of the adverts. So we need to squeeze all them in before the end of the show.
So, yeah, we'll start off with some confirmed ones. Stevie Taylor's joined Peterborough, remember him? Man who enjoys dancing in front of goalkeepers at free kicks, enthusiast. Stevie Taylor joining Peterborough. I think that's a remarkable bit of business for him. They've lost Michael Boswick to Lincoln, which in turn is a bit of a fantastic business for Lincoln. Replaced him very well. Daryl Murphy signing for Forest, and that's one we've not mentioned so far. Josh Windass linked with two London clubs in Brentford and QPR. That's come out today. Sunderland have also been linked with Ross McCormack, looking to sign him on loan. I think Steve Bruce said he'd be willing to give him another chance at Championship, but whether he actually will, if there's an offer there for him to go, he might let him. So Sunderland apparently looking at him. Wolves talked about them as well. Signed players from abroad. Of course, got John Ruddy. Sam Gallagher from Southampton, young striker, has been linked with a loan move there as well. And then Charlie Mulgrew from Blackburn has been linked with Sheffield Wednesday, but there's a lot of question marks over whether he will actually go, how that one's going to come about. So yeah, there's plenty going on. Of course, you know, back to another one, Chris Samba joining Villa. I think we mentioned that one already.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one.
The partnership with John Terry there, as a lot of people are pointing out,
strength
before.
But no pace. That's what that one's going to be.
Yeah, a very interesting one. Is that us done for transfer news?
And then Birmingham, of course, Aries, new club, well, newish. Preston North End's Jordan Hugill has been linked with a move there as well. So plenty of kind of transfers between the league at the moment, plenty of interest from players at other teams, which, you know, makes it quite interesting because we have had quite a lot of exciting but unknown players come into the Championship this season.
Indeed. Wish we were back next week. We'll have a full season preview of the all the teams across the FL 72. All of our predictions. Get writing yours down as well. We're going to go through the full Championship league. We'll go through the top six and the relegation spots for Leagues 1 and 2 as well. Bring you all the latest transfer news as we gear up to the start of another season. Top